as possible. So when my mathematics teacher revealed to me at the age of 12 that the subject we were learning in school was really a celebration of the shortcut, my ears pricked up. It started with a simple story, featuring a 9-year-old boy called Carl Friedrich Gauss. The year was 1786, and our teacher transported us back to the boy's classroom in the town of Brunswick, near Hanover, where the young Gauss grew up. It was a small place, and the local school had only one teacher, Herr Büttner, who had to somehow teach the town's 100 children in just one classroom. My own teacher, Mr. Baleson, was a rather dour Scot who kept strict discipline, but it sounded like he was a softie compared to Herr Büttner. Gauss's teacher would stride up and down the benches brandishing a cane to maintain discipline among the rowdy class. The classroom itself, which I've subsequently visited on a mathematical pilgrimage, was a drab room with a low ceiling, little light and uneven floors. It felt like a medieval prison, and Büttner's regime seems to have matched the setting. The story goes that during one arithmetic lesson, Büttner decided to set the class a rather tedious task to occupy them so that he could grab 40 winks. "Class, I want you to add up the numbers from 1 to 100 on your slates," instructed Büttner. "As soon as you are done, bring your slates to the front of the class and place them on my desk." Before the teacher had even finished the sentence, Gauss was on his feet and had placed his slate on the desk, declaring in low German, "Ligetse." "There it is." Büttner looked at the boy, shocked at his impertinence. The cane in Büttner's hand quivered, but he decided to wait until all the students had submitted their slates for inspection before upbraiding the young Gauss. Eventually, the rest of the class finished, and Büttner's desk was a tower of slates covered in chalk and calculations. The teacher began to work his way through the pile, starting with the last slate that had been placed on top. Most of the calculations were wrong, the students having invariably made some arithmetic slip on the way. Eventually, Büttner arrived at Gauss's slate. He was bracing himself for a rant at the young upstart, but as he turned over the slate, he saw the correct answer, 5,050, with no extraneous calculation. Büttner was shocked. How had this young boy found the answer so quickly? The story goes that the precocious young student had spotted a shortcut that helped him avoid the hard work of actually doing much arithmetic. What he had realized was that if you add up the numbers in pairs, 1 plus 100, 2 plus 99, 3 plus 98, and so on, the answer was always 101. But there were 50 pairs. Hence the solution was 50 times 101 equals 5,050. I remember being electrified by this story. To see Gauss's insight into how to shortcut all this horribly tedious and labour-intensive work was a revelation. Although the story of Gauss's schoolroom shortcut is probably more legend than fact, it nonetheless captures beautifully an important point. Mathematics is not a subject of tedious calculations, as so many think, but rather one of strategic thinking. "That, my dear students, is mathematics," announced my teacher, "the art of the shortcut." "Hello," my 12-year-old self thought. "Tell me more." Getting further faster. Humans use shortcuts all the time. We have to. We have a short amount of time to make decisions. We have limited mental capacity to navigate complex problems. One of the first strategies that we developed as a pathway to solving complicated challenges was the idea of heuristics, the process by which we make problems less complex by ignoring some of the information that's coming into the brain, either consciously or unconsciously. The trouble is that most of the heuristics that humans use lead to bad judgments and biased decisions and generally aren't fit for purpose. We might know one thing from experience and then try to extrapolate all of our other problems by comparing them to this one thing we know. We judge the global by knowledge of the local. Well, this was fine when our environment didn't extend too much beyond the small region of savannah we inhabited. But as our neighbourhood expanded, these heuristics didn't give us good ways of understanding how things worked beyond our local knowledge. This was the moment